that there was a covenant made with a people called Israel. And part of that covenant was a moral and ceremonial law that said, you will live like this, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. It wasn't necessarily written for all of humanity, but for all of those who wanted that relationship of friendship with God. Y'all with me? That's important for us to know. And there were some that some people thought, there's no way they will enter because they won't agree. You know, maybe they thought they won't agree with these rules. I'm not sure. But it grew innate into the Hebrew people that the Gentiles could not be redeemed. And so Peter is being challenged on that because there's a Gentile wanting God. Now, previously, if you were going to be a Gentile and you were going to become part of the covenant with Yahweh, you became a Jew and became what was called a proselyte. You had a ritual bath, and you entered into the community that way. And you became part of this covenant that God was making with the Jewish people. Y'all with me? Now Peter's about to learn something that God is doing that is new. So we pick up with verse 44. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptism?" Y'all want me to read that sentence again? "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" So Peter ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they invited him to stay for several days. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Reading from the 15th chapter of the Gospel according to John, beginning with the 9th verse. "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another." The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. You may have started to figure out that we're going to talk about friendship. What a friend we have in Jesus. The title, man, that's a good one, isn't it? Fire insurance or friend? My mother used to say this thing that I didn't understand when I was young. She would tell us that people will be surprised when they get to the kingdom of God at who is there and who isn't there. And I didn't understand that at first. I thought maybe she was being judgy somebody she didn't like. But this text gives me a glimpse into what she was talking about, because there are some people, dear ones, who will want the fire insurance. They want to be kept out of hell. They want to be kept out of damnation, out of separation from God. They want relationship with God, but they want it on their terms. They have no interest in friendship with God, much less obeying the commandments of Christ. Y'all know what I'm talking about? They always say, "I know I'm going to heaven. I'm a good person." Ooh, there's going to be some prized people in the world. Jesus said, "When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" Not will he find people who have been keeping every part of the law, but will he find faith? Will he find the fruit of faith, the fruit of repentance, the fruit of obedience, the fruit of trusting that Jesus is Lord? That is friendship with God. I hope you noticed that he said this thing that's interesting. He said, if you would abide in the love of God, if you would abide in it, if you would live in it. He didn't say God will stop loving you if you don't keep the commandments, did he? But he said that if you don't keep commandments, then you are not living in the love of God, which means you have oozed your way out of friendship with God. And I don't know about you, but I like having friends. Do y'all? I don't have a whole lot of them. When I became a pastor, people stopped inviting me to parties. I've told y'all that before. I don't understand it. But y'all know why, don't you? Yeah, because you have a horrible personality, Pastor David. Listen to this I guess this is a poem about friendship. Whenever I'm sad, you are there. Whenever I'm having problems, you are always there. Whenever my life seems out of control, you are always there. Let's face it, you are bad luck. That, dear ones, is not the kind of friendship Jesus is talking about. Not the kind of friend that always seems to arrive to us when things are bad just to point out to us that things are bad. Y'all know those people? I have a friend that as soon as my previous church voted to leave the denomination called me to ask me what I knew about it. I'm like, I'm not the pastor there anymore. Were they calling to check on me, you think? Or were they calling to get gossip? I'm hoping they were calling to check on me. You know what I'm saying? But there are some people who will draw near to us in our misery just so they can point out to us that we are miserable. Or just so, like Job's friends, they can come along and accuse us of no longer being friends with God, and that's why you're miserable. Did you know that, Winston? That's what's happened, buddy. Y'all know Winston, he hates the Lord. That's why he shows up here all the time. Do you want friendship with Christ or do you want fire insurance? Man, listen, there's something different there. You know, we can come here because we're afraid of hell, but that won't change your life now, will it? I mean, it might be good for you when the judgment comes, but it's not going to be good for you now. That kind of Christianity only results in people who beat other people up because of their failings, because they're worried about their own failings. The Christianity that produces friends is the Christianity that looks at Jesus' commandment and say, "Yes, Lord, I will love those that I hate." Do you hear what I'm saying? And I've told you over and over what that definition of love there. That love there is agape. It's not the mindless love of human affection. It is working for the good of the other. Which means that I can, in fact, love my enemy if I work for the good of my enemy, because working for the good of my enemy might transform my enemy into a what? A friend. Following after the commands of Jesus. Now, some people will say that the Old Testament commandments aren't the commandments of Jesus, which means they haven't read the Old Testament or the New Testament. Jesus said that all of it points to Him. All of it. Those are His words, not mine. He said not a letter or a tittle or an iota of the law would pass away, but it's all been fulfilled, which is why we don't stone people who hurt us. But he did not give us permission to decide that we were the arbiters of all things. We are called to submit. If we submit to his commandments, we will be his friends and we will live, we will abide, we will remain in, we will walk through life knowing the love of God. God will love you regardless. If you decide today to turn your back on God, you cannot force God to hate you. Do you hear me? So when people say that God hates those people or hates those people or hates those people, they're wrong. Because God sent his only son to die for whoever those people are that that person's pointing at. Why would God send his son to die for someone that God hates? Can someone explain that to me? I need that. I can't make that make sense from my Bible. Fire insurance isn't the way to go, dear ones. Coming to Jesus out of fear does not result in friendship. But coming to Jesus in hope, coming to Jesus with a desire for life, to be set free from sin and death, with a desire to have his friendship will transform every part of your life. I'll make you an offer. If you don't believe me, try it. And if you can come back to me in a year and say, Pastor David, I made a commitment to submit my whole life to Jesus and now I'm miserable about it, I'll buy you a special gift. It'll probably be a study Bible. Test him. Did you hear what he says? If you would be my friends, obey my commands. If you obey my commands, you are my friends. If you are friends with the Lord Jesus, you are friends with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all at the same time, and your life is caught up in their life. And as Peter says, we become partakers of the divine nature, and the bad and the gook in us is being pushed away by the love of God, and we might be surprised then who it is that we're able to accept as a brother in Christ. Or a sister in Christ. And we might be surprised at who it is that we're willing to kneel down and wash their feet. Because we become friends with this Christ who washed the feet of others. I saw this written by a person, I don't know his name, Greg Tamblyn. Anybody know who that is? Thought it was good, though. Friends are people who know you really well and like you anyway. That's true, isn't it? Joe laughed. He said, yeah, that's true. Yeah. Friends are people who know you really well and like you anyway. Listen to me, dear ones. There isn't a sin that you're hiding in your heart that the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't already know about. There isn't a hatred that's hidden in you that he hasn't already seen. There isn't a denial of him that you've made that he doesn't already know about, and yet today he still will welcome you to his table to receive himself into yourself. Do you hear that? You haven't done anything that he will not love you. Nothing. And if we will come here and submit ourselves to him and his commandment to love God and love our neighbor as ourselves, if we will come to this table in faith, trusting what the church has taught us about this table for 2,000 years, that here we meet the real presence of Christ, that here, through faith, we receive his body and his blood. It's in our book of discipline. You can go read it later. That when we come here, we receive his very self into us. Y'all remember that dietitian that said, you are what you eat? He didn't know he was a theologian. And we receive this friendship with Christ. Anybody here ever made a new friend? Anybody? What's that line that you cross when you know that this person is going to be a real friend? Is it not when you sit at a table with them? Have you ever invited somebody to your house for dinner that you didn't want to be friends with? Anybody? Me either. the Lord Jesus invites you to his table today. In friendship, in the spirit of love, knowing that there may be something that you will have trouble submitting to. Knowing that there may be something in your life that you will have trouble laying down, but yet he calls you anyway because he desires relationship with you. He doesn't just want to be your reason for escaping hell or punishment or judgment. He wants to be your friend in this life. He doesn't want to wait for you to die and go to heaven to know him. He wants you to know him now. How do I know that? Because he said to those people standing in the room, and just to you, no one has greater love than this to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I have commanded you. You. I have called you friends. Aristotle said that a friend is a second self. A second self. That person that we see ourselves through. That person that shows us that we exist. If we sat in isolation all the time, we might start to wonder if we were even alive at all, wouldn't we? If you want to know, go to a nursing home and ask a person who's never been visited by their family. And they will say these words, "It is as if I have died." Christ offers us today the opportunity to feel as if we have lived. Will you come to this table in faith and submit to his lordship? Submit to following his commands? And accept his offer of friendship? I ask you this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.